You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this very show, the Grizzlies lose another one to the Pelicans, 105-85 on national television on TNT. So welcome to the show. As always, if you're not following the show, follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. Follow me on Twitter at King underscore producer. And make sure you're interacting with me after the show. That's where we'll continue the conversation over there on Twitter because it's my favorite social media. But I'm also around on Facebook if you want to send me a message and talk over there as well. The Grizzlies are doing the same thing over and over. They play hard in the first half. They go into the second half, and then in the third quarter, they just fall apart. And the first run happens in that third quarter, and they don't do anything about it. They fold. They hang their heads. They walk away. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I'm walking down from our press area to JB's press conference, and I literally don't have any idea what I'm supposed to ask JB that's different than the last five games. Well, what am I supposed to ask JB or anybody for that matter, except for the same things over and over? What do you do in the third quarter? How do you turn things around? Things like this. I mean, and largely you get the same answers from JB. If you haven't seen the press conference, you can I tweeted it out on GBB's Twitter account. I run their Grizzly Bear Blues Twitter account on game nights, as well as obviously write their recaps and write for them as well. If you haven't seen the presser, go back and watch it. I tweeted that. You know, it was just the same stuff. The only weird thing he said tonight was the fact that he attributed it to some kind of broken spirit, which is so weird to me. Like, why would you throw your... That's almost like saying that it's your player's fault because they're not up for the game or something. I mean, why would you throw your players under the bus? I mean, it was weird. So weird, and so that we asked that Jaren Jackson Jr. got asked about it in his post game press conference, and he literally was confused and didn't know what he was talking about. So yeah, this game again, national television, New Orleans Pelicans, no Anthony Davis, and the Grizzlies. This was the game that I had circled, this was the game that I had pegged that you could probably win this game. And then they just go out and just, you know, 4 points down 4 points at halftime, score 18 in the third, score 17 in the fourth. And it look up in that third quarter, it was like 20 points within a few minutes. I mean, it was just bad. It's bad all around. In a game where at one point they had more 3-pointers made than the Pelicans, had less turnovers. And they still were losing. In a game where you have Jahlil Okafor, who has averaged 4 points a game, 2.5 rebounds a game, and he scores 20 points, 10 rebounds. Jrue Holiday, 21 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. Julius Randle, 20 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. I mean, I don't understand how that's possible. I mean, I don't understand how you still you turn them over 19 times. 19 times for 21 points. That's what you do for them. And they had 10 steals. The Grizzlies had 10 steals tonight. I mean, how do you go from having 10 steals, turn them over 19 times, 21 points, and you still lose by 20? Like, how is that possible? These are things like I don't even know how this is even reasonably possible what they're doing. But somehow they're finding a way to do exactly what they're doing. And then you even have a game where Marc Gasol and Mike Conley play largely pretty good. Marc Gasol 9 for 19, 22 points, 6 assists, 8 rebounds. Mike Conley 7 for 15, 20 points, 3 for 9 from 3, 8 assists. And then Jaren Jackson Jr., 14 points, 6 for 14. I mean, those shot attempts are right along exactly what we've talked about on this very show. For things like, oh, I want to see this, I want to see that. That's actually exactly what you probably where you want to be. Mike's probably a little low on the shot attempts, but And that's in the range. Like, it's not going to be the same every single game, but that's in the range of what I've talked about. And yet their defense was just so bad. It's just so bad. And you get out there and you just let guys blow right by you. Marcus Saw, obviously, he was definitely injured. He obviously injured his back. Talked to him after the game. He told me, and I quote, "His back felt like shit." That's what he told me. "Your back feels like shit." And he said it hurts when he rebounds, hurts when he shoots out on the court. But yet, he turns right around and Amari Sankofa from The Athletic asked him a question if he thought it would be best to hold out and maybe let that back heal a bit. And he said, "Not likely." Is there a point where you understand that what you're doing is less effective than what you could be doing by letting someone else take the minutes? You know, like, what sitting on the bench is probably more helpful than you playing. You playing hurt is hurting the team more than anything else. Yes, you were effective on offense and you scored points, but defensively, he was awful. I mean, just didn't have it. I mean, I understand you're not good because it's hurting when you move. It's hurting when you kind of jump out and move into rotations and stuff. I get that. But if you can't go full speed, full stop, then it's time for you to take a seat. And Mark's always talking about what's best for the team. And in some cases, that's what's best for the team. And I don't understand how someone who preaches like good team basketball preaches what's best for the team all the time doesn't really subscribe to that theory as well, that if it's good for the team, maybe what's good for the team is me sitting down for a few games to let this heal. And yes, they might lose. They might lose every single game that you're sitting down. But you know what? They're not winning right now either. And you've seen that as Marc Gasol has seen that from his track record being on the floor. They're not winning with you on the floor. So why don't you sit down, let your back heal, and maybe when you get back to 100% in a week or a couple games, you'll actually get them a win. You'll be that guy that you always talk about being. You'll be that guy that you talk about the idea of basketball and being that guy helping out the team and making the extra pass. You'll be that guy leading them to a win. Maybe after you sit down for a little bit, after you've healed and you're able to play full speed on offense and defense, you might be that guy. Because what you're doing right now, I don't think is helpful for the team at all. We'll continue this conversation about the Grizzlies and what some other things that are still strange in this game, some odd 40 games into the season that we are. So we'll continue this conversation. In that third segment, we're going to talk to Sam Strantz. He runs the Barn Burner Network. You can follow his stuff at the-barnburner.com. Follow him on Twitter at @TheBarnChief. Good friend of mine. So we'll have that conversation in the third segment. Second segment, we'll keep talking about this game. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show. Just want to keep having this conversation. Some other things that stood out to me. Yuta Watanabe got the call in the first quarter. That was weird. at one point, they had Javon Carter, Ivan Rabb, and Yuta all out there at the same time. A little hustle all-star lineup out there. And, you know, good, not great minutes from Ivan Rabb. Not bad. He had 5 points, 2 for 5 from the field, 3 rebounds. You know, he didn't light it on the fire like I'd seen him done in the past, you know, the Portland game, things like that, but not terrible. You know, I think you have to continue to play Rab, especially why Joakim Noah is away from the team, and obviously Caspi didn't play tonight either. He had an illness that was actually announced like during the middle of the first quarter. And so that probably limited them on minute or a min as well. You know, so I get it. I get why you lose sometimes when you have that many guys down and then just the talent level is just, there's a gap there, you know? But it's like the same thing every single time with the Grizzlies. It's the same script. Like, I could write my game recaps for the Grizzly Bear Blues literally in the first quarter every single night. I'll put it this way. When I do my game recaps, I fill in my headline what I think the game's going to go like. I just like, because when I start a story, I have to have a headline before I start, and that's just what I do. So I fill in the headline what I think the game's going to go. And let's just say that I've never had to change my headline at the end of the night, at least in the past few weeks. The Grizzlies have not made me rewrite my headline, and I will gladly do so. But they have not yet done it. So I'll keep doing that. But so that tells you how repetitive it is. It's just the same thing over and over and over. And the other part of it is this, you know, why is Marc Gasol and Mike Conley out there at 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter? The game is over. The game is over. Take Mark out. Take Mike out. Play Rab. Play Yuta. Play Julian Washburn, the guy you just signed, which we haven't even mentioned because there's so much other stuff going on. Play all your young guys and see what you have. This, when you are losing in big games, is the or in up in big games, those are the times to get your guys real minutes in an NBA game to see what you have. Let them play through mistakes. Let them play through all the things they need to get out. So when you actually put them in meaningful minutes, they're not like they get what it's like being out on the floor with other NBA players. It's not the moment's not too big for them. And so these are the times where you just go out and play your young guys. Why the hell was Mike and Mark even out there? They were out there with 2-3 minutes left to go. What do you think you're going to come back when you're down 20? All of a sudden, it's going to turn around and they're just going to stop playing defense? That's not going to change. Like, learn how to give up. Greg Popovich, one of the greatest NBA coaches in the history of the NBA, knows sometimes you're just not your night. Sometimes you're not a win. And he puts all his scrubs in, he gives up, and he lets them get minutes. But at least there's some kind of, like, looking forward to those guys. You see those young guys play, and the fans have something to see. Oh, this guy might be good. This guy might be bad. Whatever. They can see what they have in the young guys. And even from a franchise standpoint, you can evaluate what you have in your young guys and see what you have, see what you don't have, and see kind of where to go from there. And that's kind of the whole thing. I think I was talking with Amari Sankofa tonight, and we kind of talked about it. It's a bit of like last year we had the pick to look forward to. You knew you were going to be bad, and that was okay. There was a reward for being bad. And in the NBA, there's always a reward. And when you're bad, it's a draft pick. And when you're good, it's the playoffs. And this season feels like there's no reward, because if you're bad, there's not really a good draft. You can't be bad enough to really get up into the top four to really get a good draft pick. And if you're good enough or just barely good, then you have to give that pick away to Boston. So there's no real scenario where you feel good about the future, whereas last year you knew you were going to be a bad and you were going to get the draft pick in the end, get a good player, get a young player that you can build around. So it's a vicious cycle. The Grizzlies are stuck in right now, but hopefully they'll get out of it soon. But again, stick around for that conversation with Sam Strantz from the Barn Burner. You can follow him at the Barn Chief on Twitter. That conversation is coming up next. Welcome back to the show. I got a brand new guest on the show for you guys today, Sam Strantz. We actually went to college together. Sam, what's going on, man?
What's up, Mark, man? Thanks for having me on. I'm honestly humbled to be a part of the star-studded lineup this week and appreciate everything you do. The show is great, and you work hard, so it's a good listen every week.
Yeah, no worries, man. You guys can follow Sam at The Barn Chief. Make sure you follow his stuff at the-barnburner.com. Really good content over there. They have a couple podcasts going on. It's the Barn Burner Network podcast. It's a good listen every week. I suggest you guys listen to it if you're not already. But I do want to get into what the Grizzlies are. I mean, we're recording this on Monday night after the Grizzlies lose to the Pelicans with no Anthony Davis. A game I thought was kind of one of the only games I had circled in this week that I thought you really had a shot to win. But I do want to get your thoughts. I mean, just generally, your thoughts, I mean, what people think of the franchise, your thoughts on the franchise going forward this year.
Yeah, we've spoken a little bit about this, man, but what's the Pelicans game, first of all? That's a game that kicks off a road stand or a home stand, and that's a game where if you win it, you sort of start to see maybe things turning around a little bit. If you lose it, you start to see the team continuing to slide down this insane hill we're on. And it just seems to be there's no answer for this team. No matter what we do, we just cannot win a game. And you could just see the body language of the team is terrible. And it's literally going to the fans as well in the stadium. And I don't think the fans know what to do because of the pick situation we're in. We're in this bizarre catch-22 where tanking doesn't seem like the reasonable option this year because we will likely not be able to tank well enough to get a great pick. And then there's no way we make the playoffs. So we're in this weird middle ground. That is a really bad place to be, one of the worst places to be as an NBA franchise. So we spoke to, this isn't like last year. I mean, last year we had a goal in mind. Like you said, there was a light at the end of the tunnel. We had a goal in mind to get that top pick, and we achieved it, and we probably got ourselves the next centerpiece of the team. But this year, we just don't have that. it's just darkness, man. I mean, all I hear is like Simon and Garfunkel every time I'm watching the Grizzlies. I just hear like just really sad acoustic music.
Yeah, I mean, in the NBA, like you just mentioned briefly, but the NBA is the middle of nowhere is not where you want to be in the NBA. The middle, like of the conference, is not where you want to be in this league. You either want to be at the top or you want to be at the bottom. You want to be, you know, like you said, you want to have. There needs to be a reward either way, whether you're going long term rebuild or whether you're making the playoffs. But if you get out in the middle, you could get out to be the Kings or someone else, and you just want to meander through this desert, and there's no end in sight. And you could be out there for years, and especially as a small market team, because the only way you can get through these bad years as a small market team is that there's three ways you can do it. You can draft well, you can trade well, or you can re-sign or overpay players that are either coming off injury or just overpay players in general. Those are the three ways you build a team in a small market. And the Grizzlies aren't really good at any of that kind of stuff. So it could turn bad before it gets any better. But just focusing on this week going forward, is there another game you think the Grizzlies can win in this homestand?
I mean, at this point, I don't think we win another game in the way this team's playing. I literally don't see the way – we can't even score 100 points. And it seems like the times we do, the times we rarely get over that hump, you know, the other team – demolishes us in a different way, or has a superstar that can put up 40 like we saw Kyrie do in the Celtics game the other night. I mean, this Kings game, I guess, is one you circle, but at the same time, they're super athletic and give us fits every time we play them, and they're on the upswing. So I don't. I mean, do you?
No, this Pelicans game was the one I kind of thought was – I thought that was the one you circle, and that was the one you thought could win, especially no Anthony Davis. I mean, you can't even hang 100 points on a – Anthony Davis less team, and you let Okafor go for whatever 20 and 10. I don't even know what it was. I stopped paying attention in the fourth quarter because I was so sad. Is there anything that stands out to you? Like, just, I mean, these third quarters are just so. I mean, obviously, it's like clockwork now, and the Grizzlies come out from halftime. They have a competitive first half. They go in half. They come back out their quarter. They go on a one run, and the game's over. Looking at these games, yeah, is there anything that stands out to you that's like, that you think that might fix it? That might be the one thing we should look at? I don't know.
The third quarter is like just, I mean, I feel like it's the same refrain over and over. And, I mean, this particular game, the Pelicans game, we were outscored 28-18, 10 points in the third quarter. It seems like Mirotić just kept getting open three after open three. He went 5 of 12 on the game. I mean, he literally does one thing. It shoots threes. Like, make him put it on the floor and get to the rim or do anything. Also, he needs to grow his beard back out. He does not look as good without a beard. So, if he's listening to this, bro, you got to grow that beard back out.
He is a subscriber. I know he listens. And you're right. I didn't even recognize him at first without his beard. I was like, who? Like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, he just looks like a European guy without the beard.
So it's far away, but yeah, right. It's weird.
Okafor looked like a superstar, like first team All-NBA center, and he's been trashed pretty much his entire career thus far. It seems like we always let one other role player, this game was both Okafor and Mirotić, kind of go off and get some confidence early and never seem to stop that bleeding. What's weird about this game, though, is that Mike and Mark had pretty good games. I mean, pretty efficient. So Marc Gasol, 9 of 19 for 22 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. Mike Conley, 7 of 15 for 20 points. They were both negative, plus minus. But, I mean, you know, that ain't bad. And we've seen them have bigger stinkers this season. But I think the answer to the problems is this team's just not very good, man. I mean, I think it's time for us to get realistic about the rest of the team, especially when you have Kyle Anderson and Dylan Brooks on the bench. Like, this team's not very good outside of Jaren Jackson. And I think we have to get realistic about the fact that though Mike and Mark aren't playing well, they might just be this might just be them now in their decline. And they might not be the Mike and Mark that we are having a hard time sort of like letting go in our brains.
Yeah. I think that you're definitely seeing this version of Mark is who he is. I mean, I'm a large believer, and I've said it on this show, that people don't change and people don't just going to show up one day and be someone different. And Mark's no exception. He's not going to show up tomorrow and just and decide that he's going to score 30 points every night. It's just not who he is. And he actually had a quite a few field goals. Like I said, it was 9 for 19, which I'm always grabbing about the amount of shots he take, or at least he shot the ball. But defensively, he's just not who he is. And hey, he's also hurt. I talked to Mark after the game, and he told me, and I quote, "It hurts like shit." according to about his back. I mean, like he told me tonight that it hurts when he shoots, hurts when he rebounds out there tonight. I mean, he literally is hurting every minute of the floor. So it's like, you know, did you get this version of Mark? He's still hurting on, you could tell on defense, he was not the person he was. You know, he's got a point, some point realize that, you know, he's doing more harm than good, but you're right. This is who they are in their decline. You give what do you do with Marcus? I mean, let me ask you this. If you're the GM, what do you do next? What's your first move if you want to rebuild this team?
Sure. I think it's time to rebuild too. That's the first kind of step, is to realize that it is time to rebuild. And what that means is you got to do some very difficult things for both your fans and your franchise. It's not easy, but it is a thing you have to fully steer into. You can't half rebuild. If that's the case, then you have a shaky structure. So you can't let the fear of losing that 2021 pick prohibit us from making moves now to reasonably accelerate the rebuild. Like the first and hardest step, I think, is over, man. We got a versatile superstar to build around in Jaren Jackson Jr. And most teams draft in a lottery for like 5+ years without hitting on a prospect like Jaren, you know, see, for example, the Suns. It took them forever. And then, you know, they end up with Devin Booker kind of late in the first round, kind of a surprise. But I think the first part and the hard part is over. So I think the first step, I mean, I'm not going to say anything super original here that hasn't been talked about by everyone in town, but I think a Mark trade is certainly the first move. And we've heard Woj say on record there's buyers specifically for Gasol. It's not been said. Probably not going to get a first rounder. But I think we're looking for what I would like to call now like the Buddy Hield effect. In other words, like a young player on a playoff clawing team that they're down on, that they'd be willing to let go for like for a theoretical good piece, which maybe Mark is, maybe he isn't, to be kind of a third or fourth option. You know, not to be confused with the Chris Wallace second draft, like a Ben McLemore deal, but certainly hope that you'd go more to the Buddy Hield direction. You know, I've heard Charlotte, Dallas. I've got eyes on the Lakers personally. You know, they got a bunch of young guys over there, Lonzo, Kuz, Harden, Brandon Ingram. We see a lot of these like Twitter pictures of sad Magic Johnson or Rob Pelinka just not knowing what to do because the team isn't performing as well. And, you know, we know LeBron is the puppet master behind the scenes GMing and, you know, whispering in the ear. And I could see him pushing for something like this, you know, a guy that like Marc Gasol, who had some pedigree in the league, who LeBron knows from All-Star Weekend. And I could see maybe the Lakers getting desperate and giving up, I guess, the lesser of those four young pieces. But you want a guy like, you know, Kuzma or Brandon Ingram, a guy that doesn't fit on a team but could develop and become a piece on a team that you're building around Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah, I mean, I personally think for the Lakers, probably hold out until they get some referendum on Anthony Davis. But it's not a far-fetched idea that because Matt Moore said this. I can't think it was Matt. I can't remember if it was Matt Moore or Matt Hurtlick. We had him on the show a couple of days ago. But one of them mentioned this, is that teams are increasingly desperate as you get to the trade deadline. So as long as you float these things out there, like, hey, we'll give you Mark for whatever player you don't want. You know, they had this in their back of their mind. I say no right away, but they had this idea in the back of their mind. Well, once it gets to be 2 o'clock on that trade day, like, oh crap, well, we got to do something. And if the Lakers decide, if they wanted to give you Kyle Kuzma I would do that tomorrow, all day long, right, every day. I'd be hesitant, but you know, I've always thought that Marc Gasol would play good along LeBron because they're so smart. But Mark is a fourth option on a good team. And that's kind of where he needs to be. Do you think that you think Mike Conley is on this team next year?
I think he's definitely more like, if I put Mark at like 50-50 or something, I think Mike Conley is probably on the team, unless the, as the Godfather Don Corleone once said, we get an offer so good we can't refuse, you know, unless someone gives us a future first rounder or just such a great young prospect that we can't turn it down. But I don't think we're looking to actively shop Mike Conley. And if we do, I'd really like to send him to a team that, I mean, just almost out of like some sort of loyalty to a team that is good, and like the Bucks, for example, or someone that could use a point guard, but I don't know who would even do that deal. So it might not be necessarily an issue of us not wanting to. It might just be an issue of no suitors. Although, as you mentioned, man, this is really a seller's market. There's so many buyers. There's so many teams trying to make the playoff run for the first time, like Dallas and the Kings, that I don't know. We could see some crazy things happen, like right up into February, like you said. But what do you think? You think Mike is sticking around?
Well, I mean, I'm with you. I think he's probably the most likely scenario is Mike's here next year. I think probably one of the as much as we talk about it, as much as people don't want to hear it, I also think the most likely scenario is Mark's back next year. I mean, this is a franchise that is largely not shown any real idea of the future, and they don't know anything else other than Mike and Mark. And you're looking at guys that, you know, like Chris Wallace in front office, who are really trying to protect their job. So they're trying to make moves to win right now. I mean, if they just blow it up and rebuild, you're saying to your owner, we can't win right now. You know, it's just, and if you can't win right now and you've been in charge of the franchise, why would I put you in charge of this rebuild? So you're with a front office who is making moves, I think, for the short term and not the long term. And that's kind of my thought until I see differently, until they've shown me, even in the Justin Holliday trade, you're giving up long-term assets. And if anybody tells you a second round pick isn't an asset, they're wrong. A second round picks are assets. That's how you got Justin Holliday. So you're even in that trade right there, you're giving up future assets, quite a few of them, to get a guy who has been whatever. I mean, about the same as you had in Wayne Selden, I guess. So, you know, I think it's a front office that is building for the short term and not long term. But again, the Grizzlies never cease to surprise you. But I would be surprised if Mike's not on the team and if Mark's not on the team next year. Anything out there that you've seen? I know everybody has their own trade deals, but anything out there that you've seen, like with Mark, that you think would, like, you would love, like, that's your favorite thing?
I would love the any of those Lakers players, like Kuz would probably be my favorite. I mean, I like Brandon Ingram a lot. I know a lot of people are down on him, but I think he's just in a bad situation up there. Can't really play with LeBron super well. So, you know, I'd take on a bad contract of theirs to make the money work and take on Brandon Ingram. The Charlotte deal is interesting, the Biyombo and Malik Monk deal, which, you know, I can get behind because Monk's kind of that Buddy Hield-esque guy. He's a guy that lit it up in college, was a high, you know, McDonald's All-American, and, you know, was the classic Kentucky one and done, super exciting, athletic, and can score. But then, you know, has been sort of a letdown in the league and maybe hasn't found his own. So, you know, he could be a guy that could excite a franchise and play along a guy like Jaren Jackson. So I could see that Charlotte deal being – I would take that in a heartbeat and run, too, and I would never look back. And Charlotte could be a team that gets desperate enough to do it, man. Michael Jordan down there, you know, we haven't seen him make the necessarily best of moves. But also, if I'm like three or four Bud Lights in and I'm really trying to GM, I want to sign D'Angelo Russell. Dude, I want to give him the max, dude, like, or whatever we need to give him to get him out of the restricted free agency next summer of the Nets. I don't know what the Nets are going to give him, but that guy is, I think he's going to be really good. He's 22 years old. He put up a 40 piece. He can score. He's gotten better. He's made that. He's turned a corner. I don't know if it's the corner. And I think it's hard to find a young point guard that can score like that. And so I think that's a guy you could sign to a deal, draft someone in the next couple of lottery rounds, D'Angelo Russell, Jaren, and the next couple picks we have. And then you might be right back in the mix earlier than you think. But it takes gutsy moves like that.
Yep, you're right. It takes moves that you're willing to move off of Mike and Mark, and I'm not sure they're ready. But if you were to remove Mike, I would absolutely throw an offer sheet at D'Angelo Russell, one that you were actually going to get, especially if you're going to get off of Mike and Mark. You may have some cap room that you may not have otherwise. But, yeah, you know, D'Angelo Russell, Malik Monk, Josh Hart, someone like there, Jaren, Kyle, Dylan. I mean, that's a good group of young kids, and you can build forward off that. But Sam, I appreciate you joining me. Sam Strantz from the Barn Burner. You can see us stuff or look at us stuff, read us stuff at the-barnburner.com. You can follow him at the Barn Chief on Twitter, man. I appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
Mark, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on. Happy to come on anytime.
Thanks to Sam for joining me again. Good conversation. Really enjoyed it. Make sure you're following him on Twitter at The Barn Chief. Make sure you're following the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. If you want to be a feature sponsor on my show, make sure you email me, LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. We can talk about it. We're getting a bigger and bigger audience every single day. We're growing weekly. It'd be a great spot for a sponsor. So email me, LockedOnGrizz pelicansfan@gmail.com. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss an episode, or Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, or simply go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.